Welcome back to Two Footed Tackles. My name is Rahul, and with me is my partner in crime, as always, Sachin. Welcome back. It's been a while. It's been a few months, actually, but I thought we won't do a podcast considering the state of United. yeah, welcome back, and it's nice to be talking about football again. How's it going? How's life as a United fan?
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think I've lost out on adjectives on how to describe the season, how it's been. But I've had a bit of a falling out with football for the season. It's been really hard as a United fan. And yeah, I've been drowning myself in alcohol for a little bit, I think, just to forget my troubles. But yeah, it's nice seeing you also, Rahul, because as our listeners wouldn't know that we are always in different cities. So we also don't have a lot of time to catch up with each other selves.
I have also been drowning myself in alcohol, but no reason to doing that.
Yeah,
But
for you, I just don't just. I think for you, I think it's just being elaborative. Or, I mean, Chelsea did have, I mean, not the best season, but also not the worst. We'll get into that later. But
yeah,
let's get on with it.
absolutely. And starting things off, we are at the end of the season, just one match remaining, the Champions League final. The season has obviously been up and down for both of us, but there was an intense and absolutely impeccable fight at the top of the table. City coming out winners, deservedly so, I must say. But Liverpool gave it their all, and what a fantastic performance. Well, it's not easy for two teams to go head to head and finish as close as they did with 1 point difference, and they both crossed 90 points, which is ridiculous. You don't really see that. You haven't seen that in past seasons, and fair play to Liverpool. But in the end, I think deservedly so. The title went to the other half of Manchester, the noisy neighbors. But Sachin, from your perspective, obviously Liverpool, City, both not ideal winners for you, maybe as a United fan, but were you happy with the outcome?
It doesn't get worse than that, is it? I mean, United being in absolute tatters, and then two of your biggest rivals have been. It's probably the best two teams in the world. So I would want to tell you a little bit of what happened on the last day of the season, because all us United fans gathered to watch the game together. I mean, because we really had nothing to go for. I would actually be honest and saying that we didn't really even watch the United game. We were watching, we were switching between the Liverpool game and the City game, and all of us were cheering for the blue side of Manchester. That's how bad things are now. I mean, first of all, I wanted the season to end probably by mid-September, mid-November. I think that loss to Atletico Madrid, I was mentally done for the season. So I was just watching the season like a zombie. But yeah, but shifting the focus to, I think, City and Liverpool, these two teams, I think, just get the best out of each other. And I think I did think that City almost bottled it, and I was getting really worried. And there was a bit of fun, if you're not aware. There was a rumor going on at Anfield. Someone circulated a rumor where City was still down and they score and Villa scored a third goal. But and for 20 minutes, it is really fun. I mean, it was really nervous for us, but they really thought that they won it. So
I actually I was doing the same thing. I was watching the City game, the Liverpool game, and I was barely watching the Chelsea game, so I switched now and then. But I think my focus was clearly on who's going to come out on top. But I was actually watching the Liverpool game when that rumor came happened, and the commentator said, "Oh, there's something happening," and the whole the cough end started going ballistic, and I got worried for a second as well. I was like, "What the fuck? No chance have Aston Villa now scored, and City have absolutely bottled it." And I switched to the City game. I thought there was a delay, but then obviously it was on the TV and not on a stream. And I was like, "There's no chance, something has happened and they're not showing it."
For a bit, Rahul, it looked like Guardiola also, because he just like slid in his chair with his hands on top. For a bit, even Guardiola, it looked like, from his body language, it looked like, you know what, he's also sort of
Yeah, I think you know, like, obviously we saw what happened back when Aguero did his magic, and it was quite, exactly. But for a long time, like, I was watching the City game for a long time before they actually scored the first goal, and it didn't seem like they're gonna come back. It really didn't until they scored that first goal.
I also saw the game. Yeah, it didn't. I agree. It looked like the momentum had completely shifted.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could see the players kind of dropping, like, even players like KDB who are out of this world good. And, you know, you could see his shoulders kind of slump a bit. And obviously, you mentioned Guardiola and the rest of the guys as well. So I really thought that, you know, maybe, you know, it's one miracle too far.
But can you imagine, because even before the game, there was this narrative where Steven Gerrard going up against City and saving it for Liverpool, Coutinho scoring. For a moment, it looked insane. Like it was meant to be.
I was like,
no, cannot be. Come on. I mean, we're already at the edge. I think we're already edge of that valley. You know, we just have, if that had to happen, we would all left, I think.
Yeah. I think, and I'm assuming basis what you're saying is that you also, while not ideal, you'd prefer City winning than
yeah,
Liverpool.
Because growing up, I think Liverpool was a rival. I think City is just like, okay, yeah, derby, but yeah, I think a proper rival is Liverpool, I think. Is what I was
saying. I think for me also, I definitely wanted City to win. I had different reasons for that. I think when you go online on social media, I think Liverpool fans are absolutely unbearable. They're so cocky, they're so overconfident about everything. And I just hate, so I know you have done this as well, but I've muted every possible Liverpool word on Twitter, so I don't have to read anything about them. I just don't like that fan base. It's not that I have a problem with the team. I don't really have an issue. Actually, from a Chelsea perspective, we had more to lose because now City have more Premier League titles than us. But it really didn't matter to me because I can't stand Liverpool fans online. They're just too annoying and too frustrating to even look at tweets and, you know, posts and stuff like that. So for me, it was a different reason, but I definitely wanted City to win.
I think every fan base has, I mean,
I think
to be fair, I think when United were on top, I think we were a ridiculous bunch of fans. I think so. I think maybe the success goes to a head.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would say is because City don't have enough fans, it's bearable.
Did you see the parade? It looked like an Asian wedding would probably have more people. More number
absolutely.
Of people than there for it.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. But, you know, regardless of who we supported and who we wanted to win, I think it was a fantastic and very entertaining watch that final day. Because until the last moment, I think Liverpool fans, Liverpool players, the coaching staff and anybody for that matter, City included, had no idea that what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One crazy moment in the last minute could have seen Aston Villa grab an equalizer, and that would have been absolutely insane.
Sublime. This is sublime.
Ridiculous. But I think City, they just have the better players in my sense,
who do you think is a better team or a complete, or who would you not want to face? Would you want to not face City, or would you not want to face Liverpool?
I would not want to face Liverpool. I think they're too, that core team that they have, the 11, 15 players or 15 players odd that they have, is they're absolutely outstanding. I think as a team on a whole, I think they're miles ahead.
They are a level above.
And I think versus City, right? And the reason I said I would rather face City, not that I'm happy to play City, because they're equally tough, right? The only thing for City is, like, they have individual players of immense talent.
They're not as cohesive as Liverpool, I would
exactly
say.
As a team, I think Liverpool are better. I think as a bunch of players, City just have too much quality.
That's because they spend way too much. So I think the thing what pops in my head is, I feel Klopp could have done the same job at City, maybe, but vice versa, I don't think Pep would have been able to do the same job with Liverpool. Because he wouldn't have that kind of money.
I agree. And you know, by saying that, I don't mean in any way that Pep is a bad manager. I think he's still fantastic. But he does rely on, you know, that money and that those players. But yeah, apart from that first day's entertainment, there was not just the title race that was happening, there was also a relegation battle that was happening. I think I was also kind of monitoring that because until the last few minutes, I don't think anybody knew who's going to go down.
Yeah, it was quite chaotic. We didn't know what to watch because there was also the relegation battle.
There were so many things happening, right? And I completely understand why, you know, you and me didn't watch our respective teams' matches because we had nothing to play for. you know, just watching the relegation battle, I was watching just the scores online. And I think Leeds had actually scored early on in the game and it was rolled out for offside.
Yeah,
I was kind of banking on Leeds to pull through, and you know, I was supporting them if you say so. And I was happy that it turned out so well for them in the end. I think Burnley obviously kind of fucked up themselves against Newcastle, and that you kind of expected that to happen.
I think the problem with Burnley is I think it's all started with sacking Dyche, because I think
that was a ridiculous. What was your reaction when that happened? I was shocked and baffled.
I think this manager has been keeping them in the Premier League with barely any signings, any investment in the squad, and the kind of I think he is a legend, whether someone agrees or not, he's a legend at Burnley.
Absolutely.
So when they did that, I think there was only one thing waiting to happen, which was relegation.
Yeah, and if I'm not wrong, at that point they were still in the relegation fight, but they were not in the bottom three, as far as I remember. But I think it was an absolutely strange, unless there's been some massive fuck up within the club, that has included Sean Dyche. I can't see a reason why they would sack him. He's bailed them out like way too many times, and
yeah, with almost no budget, no investment.
Yeah, barely. I don't think he spent more than like 20, 30 million or 50 million even over the last.
I think even that the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, and it's like since he's taken charge of Burnley, and I don't remember where I saw it, but I definitely seen it somewhere that he spent like less than what we spend, like our club spend on a single player. He spent on, you know,
I think you can see Chelsea, not be United. Jesse Lingard only has the wages of the entire Burnley team.
But you know, I think it came back to bite them in the ass that they, you know, hiring Dyche and not hiring a full-time manager. I think they still had an interim manager. They were asking for it, basically. And then, you know, credit to Jesse Marsh at Leeds and the team. They show that fighting spirit right at the end. And
It was the right time, I think, Bielsa also to leave. So.
Yeah, but see, the difference between the two is that Bielsa firing Bielsa was bad. I don't think it was a great decision, but then they did get a full-time manager. Jesse Marsh has managed at the top level. So they did kind of cover their asses a bit, whereas Burnley didn't, in my sense.
Yeah.
So
it's quite a bit of mismanagement there.
But do you think the three teams going down were deservedly are dropping down?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I would argue that. I think they deserve to be relegated, and I don't think Norwich. I think we knew that
It happens every season. Like Norwich drops down, Fulham comes up. Fulham drops down, Norwich comes.
Going there.
But yeah, I think, you know, Everton were also very lucky to scrape through. They did it a week prior, luckily. But you know, they shouldn't have been there in the first place, is my sense, with the squad that they have. I think
there's been a lot of talk about that. I think he's basically where he started. I mean, Frank, with Everton.
Yeah.
I think maybe securing their position in the second last of the week made it look like a great achievement. But like you said, they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Absolutely. Because they've drawn, they've lost some nonsense matches. Some because they've gotten two red cards in a match, which was ridiculous. They've just not played well enough. And it seemed like they've only come to life in the last 5-10 games odd. But that obviously wasn't good enough. But we'll have to wait and see whether they actually show up next season or they're going to struggle again. I have no idea at this moment in time. But moving on, there was another battle, obviously, on the last day. It wasn't too significant in the end. But Arsenal did a Spurs and they bottled the job. I think at a point, I thought they would even beat Chelsea to third spot. But then I realized they're Arsenal and they're an absolute shit club. And I think deservedly so. They failed in their aim to get Champions League football.
For a while, it did look like they'd really hit their stride and they were playing good football. But in between, then I think they lost three games on the bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then in Tottenham, I mean, Conte needs a mention because he's done a phenomenal job.
Phenomenal.
From where they are. Yeah. So, and that's what you get from Conte. But I don't think he's going to be here after this season. I think we've got news that, I mean, I've read news that he's going to be at Spurs this coming season. I don't think he's going to do it after that. Because I think he does that for 2 years and he just leaves.
And I also don't think he's too passionate about the project. I think, you know, obviously it's a fairly, fairly decent club. And, you know, he didn't have a job. So good enough for a while. But I think, yeah, you're right. He's definitely going to move on. But, you know, coming back to Arsenal, they were in a commanding position not to just get top four, as I said. They were on course or on par to get that top three position.
They bottled it.
Absolutely ridiculous. I think that that stems down not only to Arteta, but also the club in general. I just don't think they have the mentality or they lack the mentality to be successful. I think the squad has too many youngsters. It's not managed well. And just the senior players are a bunch of clowns, in my sense.
When they let Aubameyang go, he wasn't really replaced. So they didn't really have someone to lead the line. I think Nketiah did well. I mean, as a young striker, I think whatever
he could. Yeah, but he is a backup striker, right? Like, that was his role at the start of the season. Like, you know, if players are injured or if you need a sub-on striker, that was his role. But then I think they expected too much out of him. He delivered for those few games and then he struggled after that, along with the rest of the team. But if you're banking on senior players like Xhaka and, you know, Lacazette, I don't think they're good enough players to be in a top four, to play the Champions League, in my sense.
Yeah.
And to bank on them versus, and the, you know, the rest of the squad is pretty much extremely young. Obviously, they had, you know, injuries to deal with, but so did the rest of the 19 clubs. So that's not an excuse in my books. I just don't think that they are mentally strong enough as a club on a whole.
Yeah, and then thanks to West Ham, they just pulled us along with them in the Europa League. We must come to the conference if they had to win. Because we lost on the last day of the season. So
I actually spoke to my uncle a few days back about the, you know, who's going to finish in the Europa League spot and who's going to get the conference. He's like, so West Ham are definitely going to get it because I know for a fact that United will lose against Crystal Palace.
I mean, this season's just been like that, right? So
we spoke about this before the podcast a bit that we both had fairly different, bad seasons in different ways. For Chelsea, you know, because we've reached two finals and we've failed at both of those on penalties against the same team, it's a bit frustrating to go through those emotions. But overall, I don't think, you know, finishing third, quarterfinals of the Champions League, the overall the season that we had, I think it's been fairly successful considering all the shit that we have gone through, you know, the club takeover and all that nonsense. I think we've had a decent season. A bit frustrating to end up with no titles. But I can only imagine, Sachin, the pain that you have gone through as a fan. I would never want to go through that. Are you shocked that you all finished where you all did, considering the season you all had?
First, I'd like to address... See, I think as a Chelsea fan now, the standards have gone up. Because I think you all have pretty much won a at least one trophy every season now. I don't remember the last time when you all hadn't. So I think it's fair that every fan who supports a particular club has some different sort of expectations from their club. Like Chelsea would be like, we would need one trophy at least, because that's what you're used to now. Liverpool City, obviously, they would obviously expect their club to win all of it. That's what they're doing. And then I think now if you speak about United, it's been about a decade that I don't think we are even in the conversation when it comes about challenging for something. And it's the truth. Because the last time when you won the league, which is back in 2013, it's almost going to be a proper decade. And I don't think we've even been in the conversation or been anywhere near. So when the talk was there that this season we'd be challenging with the title, I really didn't think we would. I just thought maybe we would be somewhere in that, you know, top four or top five sort of a battle. Maybe I thought we would, you know, look very convincing getting there, but definitely not challenging. That's delusional. What is the question? What did you ask?
Did you expect, considering the season that you had, you know, to finish where you're at 7th, if I'm not wrong?
I was there for a moment. I mean, it might sound like funny or delirious, but I did think that we could be relegated because the way we were playing. because it looked like, what is this? What's happening? Because there was no structure, there was no passing, there was no motivation. If it wasn't for Ronaldo and Lea, I think we would have been in a really bad position. I feel we would have been in a really bad position. I did expect them probably lower. I think some of the teams playing, like missing out on points, playing badly, losing games, actually did probably give us better. Maybe 2-3 positions better. But I think you would have gone much further down the line. If it was solely on us, I think we would have been much down on the table.
And then, you know, just out of curiosity, at the start of the season, considering that the signings that you all made, obviously Ronaldo, you knew he was going to give you goals. There's no doubt. There was never a doubt about that. Varane coming in, you know, big signing again. And then you all had a decent enough squad from last season, right?
Very decent. I think on paper, you're very good. Yeah. And I think that this is a team which finished second. Even though, okay, not saying because it's finished second because convincingly, but if a team is finishing second, that means they're decent. They're good. Even if there's a big points gap. And also, we have to consider Liverpool's blip last season. So
So, my point was, like, you know, considering the team that you all had, what do you think or where do you think you all struggled? What was wrong? Was there no leadership or was it just chaos end to end?
First of all, I think I'll have to answer that question addressing quite a few things. I think this season's probably looked like a culmination of all the 10 years which has been stewing in the background of United with all this mismanagement of signings, whatever. So I felt that Ole did keep this together with that sort of, his man management is very good. And I think Ole just played to the strengths of the squad. He knew that the squad, and credit to both of them, I think Ole himself is not very tactically astute, or neither is the squad capable of that kind of football which we see Chelsea or City or Liverpool play. Okay, so let's start with that. And then when Ole got fired, we've got our German German pressing manager who
all heard so much about. Everybody thought he's going to be a revolutionary. Yeah,
so when
were you also one of them? Did you also think that he's
I didn't think it would be a revolution. I wanted to see some modern football as a United fan. I wanted to see some dressing. I wanted to see some nicer things. I expect that, you know, we're going to like win some trophies or anything. But I just wanted to see some nice change where maybe we had some structure, where we had some, because a man who speaks, not even speaks, I think gives sermons as press conferences, where he knows so much, it did not translate whatsoever on the pitch. So I think his interim spell was an absolute disaster. And I think the blame lies with both the squad as well as him. He had no control over the dressing room. And I think the players also didn't buy into his philosophy. It certainly looked like that. So we, in the end, I think as fans, I think we really had nothing going for us. I mean, I've put the match in the background. I've done work, and you know, I've seen the games because I've had to, not because I wanted. Because as a United fan, I don't think I can't. Yeah. It's not possible to
watch a game. No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah, but to be honest, I think a lot of fans would be the same boat as me. So.
Then in the last few games, did you go into the match just kind of expecting not to win, considering you all were
starting? Yeah. Back then, after a point of while, I think all of us just, I mean, all United fans just didn't have anything to look forward to. I think when the opposition scored, you know, it was more validation, like, you know what, we are all right, it was going to happen. So I don't think, I don't think we ever even, you know, thought of winning games or anything like that. To be really honest, you just wanted to see the season out. I mean, you really just wanted. I think as a United fan, you've never, I mean, it's like rock bottom. I don't think it can be worse than this. Yeah. I mean, as a club of that stature, I think, I mean, of course, we know why we don't win titles and why we are not competing at a level where we should. But I think this was just way too much for any fan to handle, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then, I know it's a little early to ask this, but what do you see positivity coming through Ten Hag?
See, I know how good of a manager he is tactically and man management excellent, but at Ajax. So when he comes to United, I would say it's a clean slate, and I am not going to this time just get my hopes up because the manager has done a wonderful job somewhere else. So I'm not hoping anything. I would want to have some proof on the pitch before I start believing and hoping again. So far, I would just say that as a United fan, I'm sort of cautiously excited that we have signed for the first time a manager who's on the up. So, but I would have to see a lot of proof on the pitch before I even start hoping that, you know, that we would be competing.
So. And then to that, a follow-up, obviously, I think if Ten Hag has the same set of players that, you know, Ole and Ralf had, I don't think it's going to work. Let's be very honest about that. How much are you going to have to dip into that budget of yours to get some really good players in different positions, right?
Yeah, I think so. Based on all the news that we've heard, so I think the players who we would be going for is a central midfielder, a right back, a center back, and a striker. So more or less like a spine of the team. But again, I feel like it doesn't have to be a big name. So just give the manager what he wants. Maybe if it's a Timber, just someone who will buy into his philosophy and, you know, however he wants, whatever player he wants, just change the strategy. Because what we've done for 10 years has not worked. We've gone all for the big names. We've and it's not like we haven't spent money. Yeah. So, because that would be really unruly. We've spent the most money out of the entire division. We spent $1 billion in transfers. $1 billion. No club has spent as much money as Man United. Not even City. It just looks that City has spent more because, you know, it's been
happening for years. The profile of the players is so high.
But we've been spending consistently a lot for a decade.
Yeah.
So it's gone nowhere. So it has to start from there. Because it's an impossible job for any manager to get Manchester United back, not even contesting for titles, just to be, you know, in the competition. Four.
Yeah.
So I think it starts. You can get Jurgen Klopp, you can get Tuchel, you can get Pep Guardiola in this current scenario, and no one would be able to do shit.
I have to agree with that. Because in all my years of watching football, especially in the start, I hated playing United. I hated Chelsea featuring up against United because you all were ridiculously good at one point. And now, like this season, the contrast has been that we only got a draw against United. That was supremely disappointing for me as a Chelsea fan.
Any team against United should have won.
Absolutely. So that was the change in expectation, right? So, from going to like, I don't want to face United at all, to saying that why
let's
the fuck
have a go with them. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but just being honest.
So that's the reason I think, you know, you're completely right. It's not the manager. I don't think it's the manager. It's these players need to like buck the fuck up. And
I think it's a mix of everything. See, I think it takes a. I think the manager is the first right thing. I mean, in a club where everything is going well, then it's the manager where he steps in and he's the captain of the ship. So, like, City have Guardiola and then Liverpool have Klopp. That's how the revolution started. So,
yeah,
I think we'd probably have to do a whole episode of United after
pent up. Hopefully, the next season will be much better. But before we wrap up, I said there's one more match remaining for the rest of the season. That's the Champions League final. That's tomorrow. What are your predictions? Who are you cheering for?
I think it's going to be like a 60-40. I think the favorites obviously are Liverpool, I feel.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Might have stardust quality this season that they've been knocking out. I think, to be fair, I think Chelsea had I think I didn't see a lot of football this season, to be honest. Because, you know, otherwise we do watch a lot of other games.
Yeah, yeah.
But one game I was really happy that I didn't miss was the Chelsea Madrid game. I think it was the best entertaining game of the season. It was really exciting. Really entertaining. So I did think that, I don't know how did they manage to get back. But I think it was last 10 minutes. Otherwise, it was all Chelsea.
Yeah, last 8 minutes.
Yeah, so no, just because of that, I don't know. I think Liverpool are favorites. Coming from a United fan, I would always want Madrid to win. So I would want Madrid. So I would be supporting Madrid.
I will be supporting Madrid as well. I'm desperate to see them win. More for the fact that I don't want another Liverpool trophy. They're just never going to shut up after that. But I agree with you. I think they are the favorites, and I think they will be good enough to not have a slip up like City and Chelsea, and they will win it in the end. Is my sense.
So I think it's very important for Benzema to be firing on all cylinders. So Madrid.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Now, I think Liverpool now, I mean, they even have players from the bench who can make a massive difference. Like, has been mad. And then they have Jota. So, what do you think? If you have to predict the score and who would be the scorers? What do you
think? I think, the reason I'll say this is because Madrid have been relying on that second leg. Whereas Liverpool don't have to. I think Liverpool will take this comfortably. I think a 3-1 scoreline is what I'm predicting. And I think whoever plays in that front three of Liverpool are all going to score. Is my sense.
That's strong. I would say, I don't know why I have this feeling that I think it's going to be dragged down a little bit. I think it's going to be like 2-2. Then I don't know who's going to take it. I just...
Let's hope for another penalty shootout, and this time Liverpool find it.
I feel like it's not going to be like a team which is just going to take it away. I think this is going to be fairly a good competition.
Yeah, and with that, after that match, we will wrap up yet another season of entertaining football, and another entertaining season of Two Footed Tackles. For all those who have taken time out to listen to us. Thank you very much. And Sachin, it's as always, it's been a pleasure. We will talk again soon before the start of next season. But for now, we can take a little longer break than we normally do.
I need to take a long break before we come back.
So that's a wrap for season 2 of Two Footed Tackles. It's been a pleasure. And we'll be back once more for the next season. Sachin, thank you. Signing out. Sachin and Rahul. Thanks again, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.